الصاف عن كنه معرفته ورضعت عظمته العقول، والذي لا تواري عنه سماء سماء ولا أرض أرضا. ثم الصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على سيد البتحاء سيد المرسلين والأنبياء أبي القاسم محمد المصطفى وعلى الجوهرة القدسية البتول العذراء سيدة النساء فاطمة الزهراء وعلى بعلها أمير المؤمنين وبنيها الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا. لا سيما على بقية الباح وحجته الكبرى الذي بيمنه رزق الورى وبوجوده ثبتت الأرض والسماء، ولولاه لصاحت الأرض بأهلها، واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من حين عداوتهم إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم: عندما سأله حذيفة بن اليمان عن الإخلاص فقال: سألت جبرائيل فقال: سألته عن الله، قال: السر الإخلاص سر من سري، أودعه في قلب من أحببته. صلوات. The subject of tonight's speech is Riya. Riyakari, that means showing off of our beliefs or our actions. This is one of the very commonly found spiritual illnesses. And this spiritual illness is aqlan and shar'an, in terms of Islamic intellect, intellectually, and in terms of Islamic jurisprudence, it's a condemnable and condemned spiritual attribute. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has informed us through his representatives that this kind of riyakari and riya and showing off, if we find this riya taking place during any ibadat and worship of Allah, that ibadat and worship becomes batil immediately. And if riyakari, riya, showing off of our good deeds, happens after the end of the worship is not batil or invalid, but we certainly have performed a bigger sin. And our scholars of akhlaq, like Mulla Naraqi, rahmatullahi alayh, whose book of Mi'raj al-Sa'ada is considered as one of the mother books of the knowledge of Islamic ethics, Ilmul Akhlaq, Mulla Naraqi rahmatullahi alayh has classified riya, that means showing off, into two kinds. Sometimes the riya and showing off belongs to our aqaid and beliefs, Whereas some other times the riya and showing off belongs to our actions and amal. Anybody who has, of course both of the types are condemned and are haram. In some cases it equals to shirk. That means associating partner with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is the worst form of riya. And in some other cases, it is not a shirkul jali, the obvious and open associating of partner with Allah. Instead, it is a shirkul khafi, the hidden shirk. That means the person who performs riya in his actions is actually associating partner with Allah in his actions. And so this association, since it belongs in the our amal and actions and that domain of our actions, not in the belief, so and this is a hidden shirk. And lots of people have the hidden shirk found in their spiritual situations. Quran has informed us, لَا يُؤْمِنُ أَكْثَرُهُمْ بِاللَّهِ إِلَّا وَهُمْ مُشْرِكُونَ. Most of them do not have iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala except that they are mushrik. In other words, so we understand obviously in the light of this verse of Holy Quran that overwhelming majority of those who have iman unfortunately have shirk in their behaviors. La yu'minu aksaruhum, most of them don't have iman except that they are doing shirk. So most of the believers are doing shirk. And so in the tafsir of this ayat, if you turn to our great Prophet Sareen, they have mentioned that there are so many people who think, who believe, who think like this and say the statements like this: if this doctor was not there to cure me, to give me this and this medicine, I would have been killed. This is also a form of shirk, an expression of shirk, because in our Ithna Ashari belief system, we believe that there is no fa'il except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Al-fa'il al-mutlaq, the absolute doer of all actions, is Allah. Everything is in His control. Our naf' and dharr, our benefits and harms, are in the control of Allah only. No human can ever benefit us, nor any human can ever harm us, unless and until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has willed and wished for that benefit or that harm to reach us. So the nafs and dharr, the benefit and harm of us, is not in the control of anybody other than Allah. So we are not supposed to say this kind of statement: if this doctor was not there, I would have been killed. Doctor is just one of the means among the countless means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not just provides, but He creates those means for us. Because He is not only the musabbibul asbab, but the khalikul asbab as well, the creator of all the means as well. And He does not require ordinary means, He doesn't require anything, but He doesn't stand in need of doing any action through the ordinary, regular means for His goals. He can always create irregular means for achieving His targets and goals. It depends how much taqwa and piety we have in our soul. وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبْ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبْ. Allah helps those who have taqwa from ways that He doesn't even think of. In other words, He doesn't need to follow the conventional means. You need to have trust in Allah. And What I was saying is that ikhlas, which is the opposite of riya, the hadith which I recited in the beginning of my speech, that Hudhayfah ibn al-Yaman, one of the very respectable companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, once asked Rasulullah that, he says that, I asked the Holy Messenger about ikhlas and sincerity towards Allah. Ikhlas means sincerity. So I asked the Prophet about ikhlas. And Prophet said, I asked Jibreel about ikhlas. And Jibreel said, I asked Allah about ikhlas and sincerity. And Allah said that al-ikhlasu sirrun min sirri. Ikhlas is a secret from among my secrets. Ikhlas is a secret from my secret. Uwaddi'uhu fi qalbi man ahbabtuhu. I drop it into the heart of those, into the heart of the person whom I love. So what is required, brothers and sisters, for us to have ikhlas in our beliefs and actions cannot be achieved unless we become mahbub and beloved servant of Allah. So just like in the medical science, you learn about the students of the medical science learn about the body illnesses and their symptoms and their signs and their cures. Similarly, in the beautiful knowledge of akhlaq, Islamic morals, we learn about the spiritual illnesses and their root causes and their signs and their cures. Unless and until you root out the root cause of a spiritual illness found in a person, it's not going to work out that you address the issue from the top, from the surface. As long as the root of the problem is still there, the thing will never be resolved. So you have to take, you have to go to somebody who is Ahle Ma'rifat, who has Irfan and Ma'rifat and understanding of Islam, so that he can address your spiritual situation in the most appropriate and suitable way that suits your specific condition. After diagnosing that, so we find some people have riya and they are showing off their about their bodies, keeping yourself weak, keeping yourself keeping your body, not taking care of your body, our scholars of akhlaq say, so that the people may think you are a very pious person. Unfortunately, some people have these kinds of very ridiculous misconceptions about Islam, whereas this was never considered to be any sign of piety. But that's the way some people think. Wearing dresses which are which points fingers on you, and just to show off to the people, this is riya in the libas, riya in terms of the clothes. Wearing that sort of dresses that the people may say or comment about you, this guy is a very nice and pious person, look at his shirt, look at his dress, look at how he, you know, the kind of clothes, simple clothes that he always wears, just for the niyat of showing off to people how simple I am and how pious I am. You know, once in the time of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, Sufyan al-Thawri, who was one of the leaders of the Sufis in those days, Islam has nothing to do with the Sufis. Sufis, although we find the Tawhut administrations are supporting this sect because it's a Tawhut friendly sect, unfortunately. So, but they talk about the name, they take the name of Imam Ali alayhi salam, but practically your actions speak louder. Their actions have nothing to do with any of the teachings of Imam Ali alayhi salam, as a matter of fact. So, this Sufyan al-Thawri, who was one of the local leaders of this sect, he once encountered Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, and Imam Sadiq alayhi salam was wearing a kind of expensive and good shirt. And he objected on the Imam that your grandfather, Imam Ali, he used to wear a shirt with patches, a very simple shirt, whereas I see you wearing an expensive and nice shirt. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, which is a long hadith and I am paraphrasing the gist of the hadith in my own words, Imam said to him that those days were different. You know, general people, the Muslim community in those days were poor. And of course the Imam of the Muslimin is always supposed to wear, this is not part of this hadith, this we learn from other hadiths, that the Imam of Muslimin is always supposed to have a dress and a lifestyle which is lower than the lowliest of all the people in terms of their finances. So he lives a life which is the most simple life, simpler than anybody else. So Imam said, well, those were different times, people were, Muslims were poor in those days. Right now the situation of the community has changed. And I have been wearing this good shirt on the top, and I have a very simple shirt inside, a simple dress, simple cloth inside, to tame my desires, to control my nafs and desires. Whereas you are wearing a very simple looking shirt, simple shirt from on the outside, and on the inside you are wearing a very expensive dress. So we need to have our eyes opened and have basirat and insight about every basirat, political insight about everything is required in Islam. Look what Imam Ali al-Islam has said in Nahj al-Balagha, لَا يَقْبَلُ اللَّهُ عَمَلًا إِلَّا بِمَعْرِفَةً. None of the actions are accepted without ma'rifat, the insight. You need to understand, you need to have the in-depth understandings of Islamic concepts so you can practice it correctly how Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam have preached. So we find that this is not Islam. If somebody Islam considers that you have to wear necessarily a shirt with patches in all situations, in all times, on all lands, no, even Ahlul Bayt never did that. It depends on the situation where we are living, in the times in which we are living, in the communities where we are, and the times where, what is the situation of Islamic Ummah. There are lots of factors that need to be analyzed before we can come to a decision. And so this is one of the ways how shaitan deceives a person to may fall into this spiritual illness of riyakari, riya and showing off. Likewise, our scholars say that riya and showing off can be related to our ibadat, which is a very common kind of riyakari and showing off. If I come to the masjid, I read a very long dua in my kunut, so that I can impress the community and the people, and see this Maulana is so nice and pious. He's always reading such nice and long dua in the kunut. I extend my ruku, I lengthen my sajda to show off to the community. If that is the case, this is one of the worst forms of riyaz and showing off. If we are so much into those duas, our spiritual responsibility says that I should be reading the same lengthy dua which I read in front of the rest of the community. In the open, I should have been reading the same lengthy dua in the kunut when I am in the loneliness, in khalwat, when I am praying alone, when there is no one else watching me other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If that's the case, it's fine. It's fine if you read the same dua in your khalwat, in your loneliness, and you read the same dua in front of everybody else, that's okay, that's the way you are, that's the way you do. But why are you lengthening your kunut or ruku or sajda or dua in front of the community? This shows that a person wants to show off in front of the community. In fact, it has to be the opposite. When we come in front of the community, sometimes we have to shorten the duas that we usually read when we are in the loneliness for the sake of the comfort of the respectable brothers and sisters who are related to our lives, and they are maybe praying behind a Maulana or whatever. Because Islam has said that the person who is leading their prayers must take care of the oldest or the most ill person behind him praying in Jama'at prayers. Prophet ﷺ was praying his prayers moment in the middle of his jama'at prayers, he heard the voice of a baby crying. Khatam al-Mursaleen, you know, the seal of all the messengers, the most superior human being Allah ever created, the person who has for whom Allah has said, Mawlaka lama khalaqtul aflaq. In other words, the whole universe is created for your sake. If you were not there, nothing would have been created. That personality, he heard voice of one baby crying during his jama'at prayers. Prophet shortened his prayers and started to pray very fast. Started to pray fast and he ended his prayers fastly. And some of the companions objected on Rasulullah. You know, Rasulullah, you such a messenger, such a great messenger, you are praying so fast. And Prophet said, Ama tasma'u suraha sabi? Don't you hear the voice of the baby? So we obviously understand in the light of this hadith that there was the mother of that baby praying behind the Rasulullah in Jama'at, and the baby is missing the mother. For the sake of the cry of one baby, Khatam al-Mursaleen is making his prayers fast. Look at how much Islam gives importance to the social obligations, taking care of the rights of other human beings, giving preference to the rights of other human beings. Unfortunately, we find that if you do an open public survey, in generally speaking, in different Islamic communities, and you ask the question, who is the most religious person? You may hear this response from a lot of people. A religious person is somebody who, you know, prays and fasts, goes for Hajj, you know, if we did a big deal, you know, maybe we start praying namaz al-shab, right prayers. But no mention about the social obligations of Islam, political obligations of Islam, as if it's not even part of Islam. That's how some people are, unfortunately. Whereas when we turn to the Ahlul Bayt, the most important duties of the most important aspects that they emphasized were the social aspects of Islam. What are you doing for others? When somebody came to Imam Hassan and Islam asked, Man khairun nas, who is the best of all the humans? Imam Hassan replies, Khairun nas man yanfa'un nas. Best of the humans is the one who benefits the people. So don't mention that how much I did personal, individual types of worships in my life. Very good, but that's individual. There is no benefit for Islamic Ummah from your existence. Isn't that right? Unless you perform social obligations, political obligations to an Islamic Ummah. That's what concerns their lives. And nations, brothers and sisters, are never elevated by our individual way of thinking and individual responsibilities. Nations are always elevated when they perform their social and political obligations towards their leadership, their central state, their phenomena, their belief. That's how they are elevated. When the Polish government discovered a graveyard of unknown graves in Poland, and the Polish parliament was about to install crosses over the unknown graves, you find the Jewish community protesting from all over the world. And you guys don't have the right to put crosses on these unknown graves. Because maybe there were some of the Jews who were killed. Maybe, they don't know. Maybe there were some Jews who were killed and you are decreasing the sympathy that the world has towards us by installing crosses over the unknown graves. And the State Department fax machine runs out of paper. So when we talk about other communities prospering politically, we must open up our eyes. Why is that going on? They're not praying namaz al-shab. Isn't that right? They're doing certain social obligations towards their faith, their religion, their leadership, their state, their concepts and their beliefs, which some people from our side are not doing. So, brothers and sisters, what we were talking about is that Prophet had made his prayers short for the sake of the benefit of one baby who is crying. How much importance Islam has for the social obligations, political obligations towards other people in our ummah. We have one ummah concept given by the Holy Prophet. There are no boundaries in Islam. There are no ethnic or racial or linguistic or any other kinds of boundaries that can divide the Shia or Muslim community from, you know, some of them from the others.
So we find that what I was talking was the third form of riya and showing off, that it comes in the ibadat, lengthening of our ibadat in the open, in the public, and shortening of the ibadat when we are in the loneliness. Islam is actually in some instances asking us to do the opposite. Even if you have lengthy du'as in your qunut or sajda or ruku, whatever, you read long zikr, but when you come in the open, you have to take care of the other people in the community. Even the Prophet is making his prayers fast, but he doesn't do that fast prayers when he is in the loneliness. Isn't that right? So in the loneliness we have to be even, we may be longer, but in the open we need to take care of others. And likewise, there is a possibility of doing, you know, riya in terms of our food. Our scholars of akhlaq have mentioned some person not eating food in order to show off to the people that, well, I'm a very pious man. Even eating food is an ibadat in Islam if we do it for the sake of Allah, qurbatan ilallah. Every action of ours is an ibadat, alhamdulillah. Because we are not like those, like you attend 10:30 to 11:30 in such and such religious temple, and basically that's it. Do what you wish to do before 10:30 and do what you wish to do after 11:30, because there's somebody else died for your sins. You don't have this kind of phenomena. In Islam, it's not just, religion is not just restricted to 10:30, from 10:30 to 11:30. Religion is something 24/7, 365, to walk and talk Quran, to live Quran, live the life of Quran. Even our sleep is ibadat. Even walking and talking and eating and, you know, all those things that we do usually which are halal, everything is ibadat. That's why our urufa never perform anything other than a wajib or a mustahab, a compulsory or a recommended act. That's it. They never perform any haram, of course. They never do any makruh either. And they never do any mubah, an action which is okay to do and okay not to do. We have been given the option to choose. They don't never do any mubah action in their life, because every mubah action, like eating or drinking or sleeping and talking, they convert these actions into mustahab by making the niyat and intention of qurbatan ilallah before doing the action. So even the mubah things converts into a mustahab for them because of their intentions. So they only perform either wajibs in their lives, ahle ma'rifat, those who have the ma'rifat of Islam and Allah and Ahlul Bayt, that's how they are, the urafa, either wajibs or the mustahab. How beautiful the religion Islam is. Even your sleep is ibadat, you are just sleeping. Yes, there's a book that Imam Ali has said, Nawmun ma'a ilmin khairun min salatin fi shak. Or in some of the narrations I found, salatin ma'a jahl. So, sleeping with knowledge, Imam Ali said, is better than prayers out of ignorance or prayers in doubt. Some people have doubts. They never know whether even two rakats of their prayers that they have prayed in their life is accepted by Allah or not. They don't have any yaqeen and certitude about it. They are still in the doubts. So do one thing, but do it right. Or don't do it. That's your choice. Nobody is forcing us to do anything in this life, at least. So, but the beauty of Islam is that in our Islam Ashari belief system, we do everything of our beliefs and practice everything that we do based on yaqeen. We are the only people on the face of the planet who can claim comfortably that everything we believe and everything we do is based on nothing but yaqeen and certitude. Because it's not accepted for any Isna Ashari person to say, I am an Isna Ashari believer in the 12 Imam because I am born to such and such parents. No, there is no room for that argument. If tomorrow on the street somebody asks you, why do you guys believe in 12 Imams? You must have a logical or narrated evidence to furnish. Not because my dad told me, my mom told me, this is not acceptable. The person who is a Hindu, he can say, my dad told me this and this and this. You know, and that's what the idol worshippers of Makkah used to say, isn't that right? Inna wajadna aba'ana ala ummatin wa inna ala atharihim muqtadun. That's how we found our ancestors to be doing. And we shall continue on what we found our ancestors doing. Isn't that right? In other words, this is unacceptable. Unacceptable for them, so unacceptable for us too. The principles never change in Islam. It's one principle of God applicable on all. So we need to have evidences. Unfortunately, I find when I travel to different cities, I go to different houses, I find some of our youth don't even know how to say Adhan. How pathetic is this? Some of our Isna Ashari youth don't even know the names of the 12 Imams. See, when we are laid into the graves, it really doesn't matter what's the balance of my checking account. What sort of car I used to drive. Nobody can take his Jaguar into the grave. What will be asked in the grave is according to what my teacher Ayatollah Jawadi Amuri Hafizahullah said, that the simplest of all the questions, very simple questions. Allah could have asked us very complex question too. Nobody could have stopped Allah from doing anything. He could have asked us in the grave, okay, let me know about Mi'raj of the Prophet. It's a very complex discussion among our fuqaha and mutakallimeen, the scholars of Islamic belief system. Allah could have asked us, okay, let me know about qada and qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the divine decisions written on the divine slate. It's a very complex discussion. Okay, let me know about jabr and tafweev, whether we are forced to do what we are doing, or we have choices in our life to make from the right from the wrong. A very complex discussion. Maria never asked any of the complex issues of Islam in the grave. Allah has been asking every dead person simplest of the questions. Who is your Lord? What's your book? Who are your Imams? And lots of people could not even reply back the names of the Imams. So these are our values that we need to cherish about, we need to promote in our children, in our communities. You know, I went into the house of a person and I found they had written on the water fountain, Salawat par Hussain, La'nat par Yazid. I like it so much. We need to promote these values in our houses. When our child drinks water, he must remember Imam Hussain alayhi salam. He must send his La'nat on Yazid. These are our values. These are our values. Everything that we have is because of the blessings of Imam Hussain alayhi salam. Isn't that right? How inappropriate it is that we don't even remember that personality who has done uncountable favors for our religion, for our survival. Man sharib al-ma'a, Imam Sadiq alayhi salam has said in this authentic hadith, Man sharib al-ma'a, Man sharib al-ma'a fa dhakar al-Husayn. Whosoever drinks water and remembers Husayn alayhi salatu wasalam. Wa la'ana qatilahu, and sends his la'nat on the qatil and killer of Imam Husayn alayhi salam. Katab Allahu lahu mi'ata alf hasana. Allah writes down for him 100,000 good deeds in his book of deeds, of course. Wa maha anhu mi'ata alf sayya'a. And Allah erases 100,000 sins of his. وَرَفَعَ لَهُ مِئَةَ أَلْفِ دَرَجَةً. And Allah elevates for him 100,000 levels. وَيُحْشَرُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ ثَلَجَ الْفُؤَادِ. And he will be resurrected on the Day of Judgment with peace of heart. We should remember Imam Hussain alayhi salam. We should send the la'nat on his qatil. We should be promoting the values of Karbala into our community. It's about values. And never compromise over the values. You know, I remember once Ayatollah al-Uzma, Ayatollah Allama Tabatabai rahmatullah alayh, he wrote his Tafsir al-Mizan. Ayatollah al-Uzma Khui rahmatullah alayh, he was already writing a Tafsir in Najaf. He had already started to write a tafsir of Quran. He had written the Muqaddimah. He started into the tafsir. But at that time, the tafsir of Allama Tabatabai, Tafsirul Mizan, which is the best of all the tafsir, arrived into the market. So Ayatollah Uzma Khui Rahmatullah Alayhi, he stopped writing the tafsir. He stopped it. This is called Ikhlas. That's why we respect our Maraji, because of their greatness. Because of their fear of Allah. Because they are not doing anything for the sake of their nafs or desires. for the sake of their personal name or fame. They are doing everything for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, I'm trying to write down a tafsir. Fine, that tafsir has arrived, which is similar to what he wanted to write. Then why duplicate? Why do the duplication of the efforts? Unless if somebody wanted to have his own personal name or fame, but our maraja are not like this. So he stopped writing a tafsir because the job is already done. It's taken care of. This is how ikhlas is. The hadith has informed us that لا يجد عبد تعمل إيمان حتى تعمل إخلاص لا يجد عبد حقيقة الإخلاص حتى لا يحب أن يحمد حتى لا يحب أن يحمد على شيء من عمل الله. No one can achieve the reality of إخلاص, حقيقة of إخلاص, unless he does not like, unless he becomes such that he doesn't like to be praised on any of his actions that he did for the sake of Allah. I get off from this member, and if, let's suppose I have in my mind that all of you should come and praise to me, Maulana, tonight your madhis was very good, Maulana. If I have this idea in my mind, you know, of course it is riya. But this is not what the hadith is saying. Hadith is saying the person should not wish to be praised. A person dislikes to be praised. Not just that we like to be praised, but actually we dislike to be praised. Because we are not doing anything for the sake of the people. We are doing everything for the sake of Allah. This can only come if you have Allah in your mind. If we take out ghairullah, anything and everyone and any interest of the worldly, temporary interest out of our mind. So Ayatullah Uzma Khuri Rahmatullah Alayhi, he stopped writing tafsir. This is ikhlas. This is the sincerity towards Allah. When somebody came to Imam Khomeini, when he gave the hukum against Salman Rushdie, la'natullah alayh, and, you know, it's just, we recently accepted the resolution 598 of the Security Council of the United Nations, and recently we have started to, you know, interchange the different economic commissions with the European Union. So it's a very untimely hukum. It's not a fatwa, just for the sake of your information. There's a lot of difference in the usul al-fiqh, laws of Islamic jurisprudence, between a fatwa and a hukum. So it's not a fatwa, it's a hukum, just for your information. So it's a very untimely hukum because, you know, unless and until the Islamic Republic would have been strong financially, industrially, politically, then later on you may have thought of giving a hukum. This is the worldly perspective of some. And they came and said, and look at his perspective, who has the ma'rifat, who is Ustaz al-Urafa, teacher of the Urafa, and teacher of 350 plus mujtahids. He said, is the dignity and honor of Iran more important, or the dignity of Rasulullah more important? That's why our maraje have the greatness, because they don't care what the people think, they care what Ahlul Bayt think. That's why they are great. So somebody wrote a letter to Ayatullah Uzma Khuri Rahmatullah Alayh from India that you issued this and this fatwa, and there are lots of people who are following you, and people are feeling bad about this fatwa of yours, that the women in their specific dates of the month can touch the alam of Imam of Hazrat Abbas alayhi salam. If you, when you have issued such a fatwa, there will be people who will talk bad about you, and maybe they, you know, it ends up against you. And there are lots of people who are following you in India. Is there a room where you can please review it and change your opinion? And he replied back, this was the seerat of Yahud and Nasara, that when the hukum of Allah was told to them, they always insisted on their messengers to change the hukum of Allah so that it can fit to their desires. What I have written is final and will not change. That's why our maraji are great. They don't bend in front of any influential, rich, upper elite class of the community like the other faiths have done. And look at what their holy books have reached to what level, where they are ascribing some of those heinous crimes and of adultery and drinking of alcohol to some of the great messengers in the King James Version of the Bible. So we are alhamdulillah unlike them, because we did not change our book. And we respect our Prophet and Ahlul Bayt. And our scholars don't bend and don't compromise on the principles and values. Ek aadmi beghairat ban jaye to phir to uske liye sab kuch theek hai. If you don't have haya and gharat, everything is okay. Even if Rushdie comes and says Prophet Ibrahim is a bastard, it's okay for you because you don't have gharat and haya. So if you don't have gharat, then everything is okay. But for anybody who has the values alive, it's not okay. It's all about values. That's why we talk about values and stress so much on the values. So we find that that's how our maraje are, and that's what earns greatness and azamat to them. And we must respect all of our maraje. They are all our great personalities. We must respect all of them. And we find that our scholars have also said, as we are talking about riya and showing off, that if you do one good deed and then you come and mention your good deed in front of someone else. Let's suppose you did a good deed in the hidden, which is a lot of sawab in Islam, you know. Anything that you do in the hidden, any ibadat you do in the hidden, you know, any sadaqah, for instance, you give to somebody, any help you provide to somebody in the hidden, it has a lot of sawab. So, if we find that Imam Ridha alayhi salam was sitting with a bunch of his companions, and a person came and said to Imam Ridha alayhi salam that, Ya Ibn Rasulullah, I'm not a poor person, I'm not a beggar, but you know, I was in my traveling, I lost my money. So please, I stand in need of this much money, if you can help me. Imam Ridha alayhi salam, as soon as he heard that statement, the narration says he stood up, he went inside his house, and he extended his hand from over the wall or the door of his house, and he called that person to come to take this money and go away and leave. And the guy came, he got the money and he left. And he said, no, don't, because the guy said to Imam, I will give that money sadaqah on your behalf when I reach my home, because I'm not a beggar, I don't need the money. So Imam said to him, no need to even give sadaqah, you know, this is yours, in other words. And after the guy left, Imam Ridha came out of his house. His ashab and companions who were sitting, they asked Imam Ridha alayhi salam, Mawla, what was this way and attitude of giving the sadaqah? You went inside and then you extended your hand like this and then you gave it. You could have came outside and given it to him. He said, you know, the Holy Prophet has said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you do a good deed, in other words, hiddenly, it has the sawab and reward of 70 hajj. 70 hajj. I did not want to find the embarrassment on his face. That means when he comes out and gives it openly in front of him, of course the guy will become embarrassed in front of the imam. He doesn't want that moment to become embarrassed. So he is giving the sadaqah by staying away from his eyes, giving it and asking him to leave. Look at the behavior of the imams. In the night time, our imams used to go to the doorsteps of the people, poor people, and take the bread or the food and drop it at the doorstep of that poor person. And the poor person never knew who is the one who is bringing this bread or food for us. This is in our Islam, is called sadaqatus sir, giving sadaqah hiddenly. Some people in our side are such, if I donate 500 bucks for the center, I would like my name to be engraved on a plaque forever. Announced 100 times, I helped my brother for coming to the US to get a visa 22 years ago, and as 22 years have passed by, in every gathering where I sit, I mention that I did such and such favor for my brother. Isn't that right? How far away are we from the behaviors of Ahlul Bayt? Then how can we have the Nuraniyat in the Qalb? This is what causes Nuraniyat for Ahlul Bayt. Don't mention your good deeds. Some people come and bring certain excuse, Maulana, namaz sab padhta hu to badi pyaas bahut lagti hai mujhe. You know, when I pray the night prayers, I end up becoming thirsty. By this excuse, by these words, you, at the end of the day, you mention in front of the Maulana that you also pray the night prayers. What was the need of you coming and mentioning your good deed in front of somebody else? If you mention your good deed, the Prophet has said, if you mention your good deed once in front of a person, if you did the deed hiddenly and now you come and mention it openly in front of somebody, it will be erased from your book of deeds that the guy did it hiddenly. Of course, the hidden good deed has much, much more sawab. We just learned from one previous hadith. But it will be hidden, it will be cut off, Prophet said, from your book of deeds. And it will be written in your book of deeds that the guy did not do it hiddenly. Instead, he did it openly. If you just mention your good deed once in front of anybody. And Prophet said, if somebody mentions his good deed twice, Muhyat wa kutibat riya'an. It is erased from his book of deeds and it is written that the guy did it out of riya and showing off. You mention your good deeds two times in front of somebody and the angels are going to write it down in your book of deeds that you didn't do it for the sake of Allah actually. You had a different intention. You wanted to earn some, you know, praise or perks or whatever, interest from others. To mention in front of others, to gain praise from others. They mention it as riya, showing off. So Ayatullah Jazairi, rahmatullahi alayhi, one of our mujtahideen, has mentioned in his book that a person went into a masjid in the middle of the night. It's so much sawab in Islam that we go for munajat, dua, istighfar, tilawat, to ihya'ul layl, namaz, you know, shabzindadari, staying awake in the night and doing, spending the night in the worship of Allah. So a person went into a mosque for, you know, spending his night in the worship of Allah, and he had in mind to, you know, do some worship for a while, maybe an hour or so, or maybe come back, whatever. But he heard a voice of someone coming, arriving into the door opened, so he heard somebody came inside the masjid. He didn't turn to look. So now his mind thought, okay, now someone else has also arrived in the masjid. Let me just extend my ibadah a little bit further. So guy thinks he's a very pious person. See, when everybody in the city is sleeping, he's awake and busy in the worship of Allah in the middle of the night. So he extended his worship for the sake of the person who entered from there, because he heard the voice of the door, you know, cracking and somebody come entering into the mosque. So he extended again, extended and extended till the time of Fajr arrived. And now he prayed his Fajr prayers. And so when the morning time arrived, when he, now that after his ibadat he turned back to go back to his house, now he found the person who entered was not a human being, it was a dog. Because it was a very cold night and the dog had nowhere to go, he found a mosque, he entered into the mosque. For the whole night you lost your worship for the sake of a dog. Look at how lowly a person can get through this spiritual illness of riya and showing off. And get all our amal wasted. Prophet said, يُجَاءُ بِعَبْدٍ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. A person will be brought on the day of judgment and he would say to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, رَبِّ صَلَّيْتُ ابْتِغَاءَ وَجْهِكَ. Oh my Lord, I prayed for the sake of your wajh, for the sake of you. And Allah will reply back to him, you prayed so that the people say, مَا أَحْسَنَ صَلَاتَ فُلَانَ. How nice is the prayers of this guy. You know, to get the praise from the people. That's why you prayed. Take him to the fire. And then Prophet said another guy would be brought and he would say to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, رَبِّ تَعَلَّمْتُ الْقُرْآنَ ابْتِغَاءَ وَجْهِكَ. Oh my Lord, I learned the Qur'an for the sake of you. And Prophet said, Allah will reply back to him, you learned the Qur'an so that the people would say, مَا أَحْسَنَ صَوْتَ فُلَانَ. How good is the voice of this guy. How nice Qur'an he reads. He can get the praise from the people. And then somebody would be brought on the day of judgment and he would say that, somebody would be brought in the day of judgment and he would say that, oh my Lord, I spent this much money for your sake. And Allah will reply back, you spent your money so that the people say how sakhi and generous this person is. So, brothers and sisters, it's better that we do, even if we do less,
But we do it for the sake of Allah without any intention of any ghairullah, anyone or anything other than Allah. Even if the less is done with ikhlas and sincerity, is better than the more without ikhlas. Because Imam Ali alayhi salam has said in Nahd al-Balagha, لا يقل عمل مع تقوى وكيف يقل ما يتقبل. No action is less along with taqwa and piety. And how can an action be less when it is accepted? Of course, when you do an action with taqwa and with the fear of Allah, it will be accepted by God. إِنَّمَا يَتَقَبَّلُ اللَّهُ مِنَ الْمُتَّقِينَ. Allah accepts the action from the muttaqeen. Isn't that right? So we find that even less becomes more if we have ikhlas. And one of the guys, one of the teachers was, one of the scholars was saying that a person used to pray for 30 years in a mosque. Once he arrived a little bit late in the mosque, a bit late. So when he came a little bit late, his spot in the first rank of the Jama'at prayers, he was gone, or somebody else came and got his place, so he could not stand in the first saf. He had to end up standing in the final, later on, last, maybe the last rank of the Jama'at prayers. He got so upset on that day that, well, nobody would understand that I came to pray tonight. People would not realize that I was there in the masjid. And then he ended up thinking that I have to repeat my 30 years of prayers that I prayed in the first saf of the masjid for 30 years. Why? Because now I understand, for those 30 years of my life, I was actually trying to make the people realize that, see, I'm a nice person, I always come in the first saf, participate in the jamaat in the first saf, but now that I could not, I'm feeling bad. How would the people understand that I even came into the masjid? Guy had to repeat 30 years of his prayers. So if when we do something, brothers and sisters, it's important that we maintain our ikhlas and sincerity towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the peak of the ikhlas and sincerity has been portrayed by the Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam. Peak of the ikhlas. You cannot find better examples in the history than Amr ibn Abdurwud spits on the face of Imam Ali alayhi salam in the battle of Khandaq and uses abusive language against the mother of Imam Ali alayhi salam. He became upset. Imam Ali became angry. Becoming angry is not haram in Islam, it's natural. You sometimes become angry. What is haram is to say something or do something based on your anger, which is not permitted in Islam. Anything which is not permitted in Islam, if you do it or say it because of your anger, that is what is problematic. Becoming angry is natural. Imam Ali became angry, but he didn't say nothing to, he didn't say anything to Amr ibn Abdurwud. He sat aside, walked a little bit, and then came back and killed this enemy of Allah. And when he was asked, he said, when he said this kind of behavior, in other words, I became angry. I did not want my anger to have a share in my action. So everything that Imam Ali did was for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They have set the highest of the examples. So there is no excuse for the follower of Imam Ali alayhi salam to say, you know, that I was stuck. He had the best examples shown by them. The best of the examples. Look at the ikhlas of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, who is sacrificing everything that he has for the sake of Allah, without exception. Everything that belonged to him, he gave it for the sake of Allah. Even his shirt was taken away after his shahadat, isn't that right? Even his ring was taken away by those evil enemies. You know, they cut off the finger of Imam Hussein to steal the ring of Imam Hussein. Can you imagine? Everything of Imam Hussein was given for the sake of Allah. Can you find a better example than Imam Hussein alayhi salam? His whole family. But you never find any of the persons in Imam Hussein's camp ever saying, even a young daughter, 6-year-old Sakina, ever saying to Imam Hussein, even in any weak narration, among the hundreds of thousands of narrations that we have, you know, you can never find even a child saying,
in Imam Hussein's camp, Baba, why don't we accept Yazid the Tawhut for 1 hour? At least I can get some water. How easily some of the people are compromising in front of the Tawhut. Alhamdulillah, we follow Ahlul Bayt. Alhamdulillah, we are the followers of Imam Ali al-Islam, who never did the Bayat of Banu Umayyah and Banu Abbas. We have a value system protected by the blood of 11 of the Masumeen. What to talk of the rest of the Shuhada? With due respect to all of them. So, this is the peak of Ikhlas, brothers and sisters, that they have portrayed. And when this caravan, which arrived according to some narrations on the day of Arba'een, we are tonight mourning the Arba'een of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, the 40th day of the Shahadat of Imam Hussein. So we find when this caravan was about to leave, it's a very painful situation, brothers and sisters, for Hazrat Zainab to depart from the grave of her brother Hussein, when Hazrat Zainab is the one who never got separated from her brother. She never ever got separated from her brother. Wherever Imam Hussein used to go, Hazrat Zainab was always with Imam Hussein in his travels. It was part of the shara'it, shart and condition mentioned in the aqd of Hazrat Zainab, which Imam Ali recited, that Zainab has to go with Hussein. So Imam Hussein was never left alone by Hazrat Zainab. It is so hard that now Hazrat Zainab has to do the farewell and wida from the grave of Imam Hussein. Only Allah knows. Sirf Allah janta hai ki meri shahzadi janab Zainab pe kya guzri, kis andaaz se shahzadi Zainab ne qabr Imam Hussein ko wida kiya. Allah janta hai, Imam Sajjad ne shahzadi Zainab ko tasalli di, dilasa diya, maula ke kehne pe shahzadi ne qabr Imam Hussein se judai ikhtiyar ki, warna shahzadi jana nahi chahti thi. Yahan tak ke azadaro, jab ye luta hua kafla مدینے کے قریب پہنچتا ہے, میرے مولا نے بشیر کو روانہ کیا, امام سجاد نے بشیر کو روانہ کیا, رحم اللہ ابا کا کان شاعرا, خدا تیرے باپ پہ رحم کرے, شاعر تھا, جاؤ ہمارے سلسلے بڑا اعلان کرو, بشیر پہنچتا ہے. آ کے شہر مدینہ میں منادی دی, ندا دی, اعلان کیا, یہ لٹا ہوا قافلہ واپس آن پہنچا ہے. امام سجاد باہر خیمہ لگا ہے مدینے کے باہر, اہل حرم کے ساتھ قیام کیا, مدینے والوں نے جوک دو جوک امام کے پاس آنا شروع کیا تسلیت کے لیے, تعزیت کے سلسلے میں ایک کوہرام برپا ہو گیا. مدینہ تو جدنا لا تقبلینا فبالاحزان والحسرات جئنا, خرجنا منکی بالاہلین جمعا, رجعنا لا رجالا ولا بنینا. اے میرے ہمارے جد کے مدینہ شہر, ہمیں قبول نہ کرنا, کیونکہ جب ہم مدینے سے نکلے تھے تو پورا گھرانہ بھرا گھرانہ موجود تھا, اب کوئی نہیں بچا, اب مردوں میں بچوں میں سب ختم ہو گئے, کوئی بھی باقی نہیں بچا, سارے مارے گئے, سارے شہید ہو گئے. بشیر نے آ کے اعلان کرنا شروع کیا, جناب ام البنین بھی آگے بڑھی, ان کو خبر ملی, آئی. آپ جانتے ہیں نا, کسی انسان کے جب کوئی عزیز اقربا مارے جاتے ہیں تو آہستہ آہستہ کر کے مرنے کی خبر سنائی جاتی ہے, تاکہ انسان کو کوئی شوق نہ لگے, کوئی جھٹکا نہ لگے. تو بشیر نے بھی آہستہ آہستہ خبر شہادت سنانی شروع کی, چار بیٹے شہید ہوئے ہیں جناب ام البنین کے, کوئی معمولی بات نہیں ہے, آہستہ آہستہ خبر سنانا شروع کی. مگر یہ شیر دل خاتون آ کے کہتی ہے بشیر سے کہ قد قطعت نیات قلبی, میرے رگے دل کو تو نے پارا پارا کر دیا. کہا بیوی میں نے کیا کیا, کہا مجھے اصلی خبر نہیں سنا تھا. ارے میرے بیٹے حسین کے ساتھ کیا ہوا, جو اصلی خبر ہے میرے مولا کی شہادت کی وہ کیوں نہیں سنا تھا. بشیر نے کہا حسین ابن علی شہید کر دیے گئے. اب جو سننا تھا روایت کا فقرہ ہے, جناب ام البنین نے ایک مرتبہ مولا کا رخ کیا, امیر المومنین کو مخاطب کر کے کہا, مولا ارے آپ کو تو عباس کی شجاعت پہ بڑا ناز تھا, ارے میرا حسین مارا گیا. یہ سنا تو بشیر سے نہیں رہا گیا. بشیر کہتا ہے
بیوی ارے ایسا مت کہیے جب تک ابو الفضل عباس زندہ رہے حسین پہ آنچ نہیں آنے دی میرے مولا 35 سال تک امام سجاد گریا کہتے رہے 35 سال تک گریا کہتے رہے جب بھی پانی لایا جاتا تھا اپنے بابا کو یاد کرتے تھے قد قتلا ابھی اچھانا ارے میرے بابا کو پیاسا شہید کیا گیا روایت میں فقرہ ملتا ہے علماء نے نقل کیا مولا جب باہر نکلتے تھے مدینے میں اور کسی قصائی کی دکان پہ نظر پڑتی تھی کہ وہ جانور ذبح کرنے جا رہا ہے بلکہ اسے پوچھتے تھے ارے تم نے پانی تو پلایا ہے نا وہ کہتے تھے مولا ہم تو مسلمان ہیں اسلام نے کتنی تاکید کی ہے کہ جانور کو بغیر پانی پلائے ذبح مت کرو ارے میرے مولا فرمایا کہتے تھے میرے بابا کو پیاسا شہید کیا
ألا لعنة الله على القوم الظالمين وسيعلم الذين ظلموا أيام انقلب ينقلبون إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون إلهي بحق الزهراء وأبيها وبعلها وبنيها والسر المستودع فيها وعلها اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين واخذل الكفار والمنافقين اللهم انصر من نصر الدين واخذل من خذل المسلمين اللهم انصر واحفظ وأيد علماءنا الربانيين ومراجعنا الربانيين لا سيما الولي الفقيه قائد المسلمين اللهم انصر جيوش المسلمين وعساكر الموحدين اللهم فك عن الأسراء المسلمين اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى وعجل في فرج مولانا صاحب الزمان واجعلنا من أنصاره وأشياعه وأتباعه وأعوانه بجاه محمد وآله الطاهرين يا حسين
لے کے علم